I'm so excited about this episode because I feel like I get this question all the time from other bookkeepers and accountants, and it is all about creating a centralized inbox and talking about how to transition clients from the old point of contact for your email to a very new email that might be more centralized that everyone on the team can access. So that's something that you've been looking into. We're going to be diving into a couple of things. We're going to talk about how to create a new and professional email address for your business, and this is really for people who are maybe have never created a specific domain email. If you already have, don't worry, you can skip through that piece and just go right to the next little portion. We're also going to talk about how to tell your existing clients where to reach you at, how to get them to actually transition, and what that conversation should look like to tell your clients about the new point of contact and ease their stress around, oh my gosh, are other people going to access this conversation with me? We're going to talk about that here in this episode. And we're also going to talk about how to eliminate your existing email address. So how are we going to get them to stop emailing the old email address and actually start to email the new centralized email inbox so that way you're not the bottleneck of the company? And so if you've been wanting to learn a little bit more about this, of how to smoothly transition your clients to that new point of contact in the company, then this is going to be the episode for you. Do you ever feel like if you had actionable systems in place that it can actually take your practice to the next level? Can you imagine the freedom you'd gain from finally getting everything out of your head and into a system that can help you move things on autopilot? Do you ever feel like you want to hire help for your practice, but you just don't know where to start? Trust me, I get it, and you're not alone, but it doesn't have to be this way. You're kick-ass at doing the bookkeeping and accounting work. There's no doubt about that. But you struggle to maintain the systems and operations of your business. Am I right? But don't worry, that's where I come in, the workflow queen. I'm going to guide you on how to implement tech, systems, and automation in your practice so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I can't wait to support you here on the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang. So one thing I get asked about all the time is how to switch clients over from one email to another. Specifically, maybe you started your firm with an email address that wasn't created with your business domain. But even if you have an email with maybe your name at yournamedomain.com, you might run into a common pitfall where you start to grow your team and you decide you don't want to have your clients really directly emailing you anymore. And that's totally okay. Like, at the very beginning, we all think it's just going to be us. Then we grow and then we gain these teams. And then we're just like, oh my gosh, all the times the client keeps emailing me, I want it to transition. And that's where this podcast episode is really going to come into play, because once you've actually created a new email address, you actually need to start the process of transitioning your clients, your existing clients, over to the new one. And a lot of times it's going to be a lot harder to transition the prior clients than the new people coming on to work with you. And trust me when I say this, it totally is a process. I have been through this myself. And today on this podcast episode, I'm going to be sharing tips on how to create a new and professional email address for your business, how to tell your existing clients where to reach you, and how to eliminate your existing email address. So I'm so excited because I know I get this question a lot about, Alyssa, I have finally made that support@mybusinessname email. What do I do with it? So why do you actually need to create a centralized business email address? So if you haven't already created a professional email for your business yet, this is the first thing that I'm going to recommend that you do. So in my experience, it's not enough to have an email address like yourbusinessname@gmail.com. Once you're really ready to take your firm seriously and start to scale, it's fine to have something like that when you first get started if you're trying to keep operating costs low. But once you take enough clients on to afford a proper domain and custom email, I really do recommend this. The reason why is because I know for me, if I were to work with somebody who's going to touch my accounting or touch my finances or my bookkeeping, and they sent me an email address that said magneticbookkeeping@gmail.com, I would think they're not taking their business as serious as I would want them to. And it wouldn't look as much as like a legit business as, you know, Alyssa@magneticbookkeeping.com, whatever that looks like. And it's okay. I've done this myself where I used a Gmail address that said @gmail at the very end of it. Don't worry, we've all been there. But once your business really starts to grow, you're really going to want to start taking the business more serious and using a domain name. So one thing I notice a lot of firm owners doing is creating a business email address using their name and using it as their point of contact for everything. Don't worry, when I say that, I'm also talking about myself. I've done this in the past. I no longer do this with our email. When I started my second firm, I actually immediately started a support@magneticbookkeeping.com because I didn't want people to email me directly, because I don't want to be the bottleneck of the business, right? And the last thing that you want is to also be the bottleneck of your business. So before a team, it makes sense. But once you gain a team, trust me, you're going to want them to be able to easily access all the things that they need to inside of maybe a centralized email inbox. So a lot of times I know from like corporate companies or other people in their experience, and even other firms that I know of and I've talked to in the past, every time a new team member is hired, they all have their own email address, which don't get me wrong, we still do that for our team because they all need to have their own email address, like, you know, Mackenzie@workflowqueen.com or, you know, whatever those different emails are, because we need to use those emails to attach them to Asana or attach them to QBO. But they never talk to the clients inside their email. And the reason why we do this is because that also then becomes another bottleneck. So what happens if something happens to Mackenzie and she's got a whole client load and all the conversations from that client are in Mackenzie's inbox and nobody can get inside of it because nobody has the password or they can't get past the 2FA, you know, authorization. And so it becomes a big bottleneck. So for us, we centralize all of our conversations from our clients into a support@magneticbookkeeping.com email. And that makes it easy for our whole team to be able to access every conversation. However, we're not going to dive into this today on this episode, but there is someone on our team that does manage that inbox to make sure everyone's responding. As long as someone is in charge of staying on top of it, it'll be a lot easier. So my recommendation is to first create that centralized inbox if you can, so that way everything goes to one area and it makes it really easy for the team as you hire, or if you currently have team members, to be able to let them access everything they need to as well. So let's talk about how to create a professional email address. So when I say professional email, I really just mean that has your business domain at the end. And there are a few ways that you can actually create these yourself, but these are my recommended method. If you're listening right now and you've already done this, don't worry, you can just skip through this part of the episode. But if you have never created a domain email, like I said, that example of that would be maybe it's support@magneticbookkeeping.com. So whatever comes after that at, if it has your business name, is your domain business. If it says @Gmail, @Yahoo, @AOL, that is not a business domain. And so I do recommend that you do transition over to that. Like I said, if you're at the very beginning stages, you might be trying to cut costs a little bit. I totally get it. So just know that you're not really wrong if you keep it at Gmail or at AOL. It doesn't really matter. It just, to me, it looks more professional and it just makes you kind of up level into your business. So here's the recommended method of creating your domain business email address. So if you don't have a domain yet, so maybe you haven't started your domain and you don't have a website, that's okay. You could still purchase a domain. So if you haven't yet, I use Namecheap, and I'll drop this link below this episode. Namecheap is amazing. You can buy domains. I have all mine stored in one little account. Next step is head over to Google Workspace. So I will drop a link to Google Workspace below. So Google Workspace is where we actually house our domain. So our domain is connected to Google Workspace. So Google Workspace is like, it includes, you know, Google Drive, it includes Google Forms, Google Docs, Google Sheets, all those things. But then yet it connects our domains. So that way it doesn't say @Gmail. It just says @our domain name. So you're going to make that connection. Namecheap typically will have like articles on how to actually connect your domain to your Google Workspace, which is really cool. I am not the person to ask about that. I just followed their instructions and it worked really, really well for me. Then what you want to do is set up a new email with your domain name. So once you sign up for Google Workspace, once you've gathered your domain, you then want to sign up for the actual email, which is where you're going to name it. So maybe it's support@, or maybe it's, you know, your name @, whatever that looks like. I do recommend that as the owner of the Google Workspace with your domain, I do recommend that you have your own login. So for example, maybe your name is Sandra. So maybe it's Sandra@workflowqueen.com. I would recommend that your Google Workspace is owned by you, since you are the owner of the company. And then what I would do is create a separate email that's owned by you and that same Google Workspace called team@clients@help@, whatever you want to call it, wherever you want the centralized emails to go to. And so you would have your own. And the reason why I separate out mine and I don't use our centralized inbox as a place that I receive emails personally is because there's a lot of legal things I have to go through. There's also company formation. I have a financial advisor. There's a lot of like tax conversations, like specifically according to the business, HR things. So I still need my HR company and everybody to email me directly. And I don't want the team to see some of those emails. And so that's the reason why I have two separate ones and why I don't commingle my emails directly. But like I said, my clients don't even have my email. My students at Workflow Queen don't even have my email as well. So nobody can actually email me directly. And if they happen to somehow figure it out, I just forward that email from someone that has nothing to do with HR and it's maybe just a client or student question. I forward it to our centralized inbox and make the team respond to it, or I'll go in there and respond directly. That way it trains the client or the prospects or students not to email me directly. And I'll remind them that like, hey, you emailed me to here. Please make sure you email me here, like the new centralized inbox. So hopefully that make sense. I feel like I kind of rambled here for a second. So next, we're going to talk about how to transition your clients to a different email address. So this is where the hard part comes in. So as most of you know, like, we do it as well. Like, people that we've worked with, all of a sudden they change their email address. We don't got time to go update their contacts. It's the same for our clients. So give them grace. I can tell you from experience, this took me almost one full year. Yes, I said one full year to fully transition when I did here at Workflow Queen is where I first started using a support at centralized inbox. So if anybody, if you're one of our students or maybe reached out from the podcast episode, you're most likely have reached out to support at workflowqueen.com. And that's so if someone on my team can respond. Sometimes if the conversation, they think it's best that I respond, they'll just Slack me and let me know to go pop into there, which is really cool. So it is really hard. It could take over a year for people to stop emailing you to email the centralized inbox. So just know that, okay? So now you're ready to start pointing out all the communication to your centralized email address. Keep in mind that's going to take some time, so don't forget to check that original email every once in a while to make sure that while you're making that transition, nothing's falling through the cracks. So when I went through transitioning my clients to a different contact email in my first bookkeeping firm and also here at Workflow Queen, it was a really big journey. And to be honest, it was a little bit overwhelming. I needed to really manually retrace the steps to really remember where I even dropped my email address directly. And so that looked like things like maybe it was a podcast interview in their in the show notes. So I had to go into like show notes and actually update the new email. Blog posts that we had done that said our email address, we had to go update it. We had to comb through our whole entire website to see where is our email address stored. Even in our privacy and policy inside of our website, like that little legal disclaimer page, it literally had my old email on it. So we had to go in and update it. So our Instagram bio, just if you can take a step back and see where are you doing this. So maybe it's in the onboarding email that they're receiving. It also notes your old email, but you need to change it. So make sure that you are retracing your steps. I could tell you from experience, you are going to miss a couple of them. And then you're going to drive yourself insane trying to figure out, why is this person still emailing me? And just retrace your steps and try to see where you can fix it. So that would be my biggest recommendation. Usually it's going to be like your business Facebook page, maybe your Google business page, all those different places will have your old email attached. So you'll want to switch it over to the support email or whatever you want to call it. Like I said, we call it support at, you can call it clients at, help at, it really doesn't matter. The theory is it's the centralized inbox. So that's the first step, is first retracing where have you showcased this email that you could pull it away and stop getting people to emailing you. So this is where we're going to talk about how do we actually email all existing clients to maybe use this new email, right? So I want you to draft an email that you can send to your current clients, letting them know that your new point of contact for the business has changed. So my recommendation is to, inside of the same email that you're actually sending over to your clients, let them know the new email address. I would give them like maybe two reminders. So the first email is announcing this, letting them know that like, hey, by the way, we've created this new email. It's going to make life so much easier for you. Remember, tell them it's the benefit for them, not for you. And it's going to be so much easier for you. Now our team can be more accessible and you can get us whenever you need to within our business hours, obviously, but like you get the point. And then just let them know we are transitioning to this new support at email address. Please be mindful that as of 30 days from now, we will no longer be responding to any client emails at the old email address that I'm currently emailing you from right now. One thing that we do inside of our email that a lot of people forget about is that we actually include instructions and recommendations of how to update their contacts inside their email. So a lot of people we find use Google Workspace. So we actually will usually link out to the Google Workspace instructions on how to update the contact information. And that's really helpful because then it like shows them like, hey, here's how you can update the contact information. Like it's really this easy. That way they can just continue to email you but with a new email address. And so we typically want to warn them for the first one to let them know that, hey, it's coming in 30 days. We'll no longer be responding. And then also just give them a heads up of what to expect if in the case that they do respond accidentally or send you an email accidentally to the old email address. Usually at the bottom, we'll let them know, like, don't worry if you accidentally send us a new email address. We're going to really encourage you every single time that we receive it here at this old email. We're going to send you a templated email that lets you know that we have forwarded it over to the correct email and that we'll be responding from that email. That trains them to know that, okay, they're not going to even respond from this email. They're going to respond from another one. And then eventually the person will get the point and they'll stop emailing you at the old one. Like I said, this took me like a freaking year to do. And it took forever and it was frustrating at first. But now, you know, It's so much easier. It's so nice because I don't get emails directly emailed to me because I need to be super focused as the CEO of the company. And so that's something that I'd recommend. The second email, I would recommend that you send out maybe 1 week prior to the 30 days that you mentioned on the first email. So 7 days before them, and do a reminder to say, hey guys, if you've already updated the client contact, you can dismiss this email. If you have not, just as a reminder, in 7 days, we are going to be discontinuing all communication from this email address and we're moving over to this one. Here's what to expect. Here's how to update your contact information. If you have any questions, please respond. It's as simple as that. You might be thinking in your head, well, Alyssa, I'm going to have clients that might be pushing back because they want to talk to me directly. Just because you create a centralized inbox does not mean that you can't respond to it. You can remind them of that and say, like, just because we've created this, it just means that everything is more accessible. But at the end of the day, I'm still here to answer any of your questions, but our team will also be there as well for just cases something happens to me. It's really important that we take care of you, even if I'm gone. And so that's kind of how I handle it myself. So I want to talk about how to respond to emails during the transition. This is another question I get all the time is, well, Alyssa, the people keep emailing me. What do I do? So what we do is if people keep emailing me to the old email addresses, like I said, it took us almost a year for when we did this transition. It took forever to get people to stop emailing me directly. The way that you're going to respond to this is you're just going to send them a simple templated email. And my recommendation is have this templated. And that means like maybe on a Google Doc or lives inside a Gmail where it's one simple click and it will have the template ready to go because this will happen. This is what your process is going to be. You receive an email at your old email address. All you're going to do is send them a templated email to say, thank you, or you received your email. Just to remind you, we have updated our point of contact. Please make sure to update the contact. Here's instructions on how to do it to the support at email address. You can expect a response within 24 to 48 business hours, but we are forwarding this over to our support at email. So you should receive a response from X new email address. Please, please, please remind you to update the email contact so that way we can make sure that your responses get taken care of as soon as possible. It's as simple as that. You're going to have to reuse that template over and over and over and over again. And that's okay. That's why I say just install the template inside of Gmail or put the template on a Google Doc. So all you have to do is copy and paste it. It will take time. It's going to be okay, but it's worth it in the long term. I think the benefits of having a centralized inbox are outweigh the year of just having to constantly resend that same message. For me, I like to go on vacation. I'm literally leaving in like 4 days to go to Costa Rica for a week. I have no intentions of working and I don't want my clients to not get their questions answered. I want my team to be able to support them. If it was all in my inbox and I'd have to give every one of my team members login details to my direct email. And the last thing I want is for them to stumble across some HR information passed along about them to one of our HR people. So I just think it's best to just keep it separate and to just make life easy. Same with your team members. If you are giving direct email addresses to each of your team members and that's how they're communicating with your clients, then what's to say that if they're on vacation, who's going to access that information? And so whether you want to have a team now or later, it might be a good idea. It's really up to you. And I really hope you enjoyed this episode and that you got a lot of wins from this. If you have any follow-up questions to this, you can email me at support@workflowqueen.com or you can reach out to me on Instagram @workflowqueen. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of our Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang, the founder and owner of Workflow Queen. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with a fellow bookkeeper or an accountant on social media, and also tag me on Instagram @workflowqueen. The more that we work together to get this out in front of other people, the better I can help to serve this industry to create more solid systems and processes. Now, go take what you learned from today's episode and apply it into your practice so you can finally give yourself the brain space and freedom that you deserve. I can't wait to see you unfold throughout your journey. And thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. See you next time.